This is Danette Rivera, and welcome to the Entrepreneur's Lifeline. This is episode 14, and welcome. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen. So, some of you that listen in, I think those of you that do listen in already know me and know that I really try to be honest about what it's like to be in business for yourself and the ups and downs, and it's certainly not perfect. So this week I wanted to talk about what it takes to monetize your business, particularly when you're a service business. So yes, this one's a little more for my service business listeners, because I think that we face some very unique challenges. And when you have a product, you know that you have to do something to market that product, to get it out there. So you're almost forced to do something with that product. And I will certainly talk more about that. Many, many of my clients have product businesses. But service businesses, we tend to forget that we have a product as well. And depending upon what it is that you do, someone like myself, my product, to some degree, is the knowledge in my head, right? It's my brain. I'm using the knowledge that I have obtained over my years of working in management in all sorts of businesses to having my own company for 11 years offering business consulting. For some of you, it's insurance. That's your product, whatever it may be. But what I find with so many of us, and I will include myself, is that we don't get to where we want to be as fast as we want to get there because we're so distracted and we're looking for the best way to market ourselves, and we're listening to all this information that's coming at us about what it is we need to do on social media, what it is we need to do from a strategic marketing plan. We're looking at business plans maybe that you wrote and you said what you were going to do with your marketing. There's just so many things coming at us and so many ways that we're supposed to market our business that we forget that in everything we do, whatever it is, whatever method you're using for marketing, it comes down to building relationships, right? So when you're, whether it's social media, face-to-face contact, it doesn't matter. It's all about building relationships, right? And when it comes to things like email marketing and social media, those types of methods, if nobody cares, nobody shares. They're not going to share what you have to say with their audience or with their friends, or they're not going to recommend you because you're not connecting with them. But then it goes deeper than that when it comes to monetizing your business and monetizing your efforts, right? It's almost like we have this mentality that we bring to our businesses, depending upon where we grew up and who we grew up with, that wanting lots of money is a bad thing. It's some kind of stigma. And, you know, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, a colleague, Giovanni, down in Atlanta. And we were talking about the fact that this is something that for many of us in the Hispanic culture, it's taught to us by our parents and by the groups that influence our lives as we are growing up, that we're not supposed to be self-serving and, you know, be arrogant. And so it creates, so we bring that into our business. But this happens across cultures, because I do a lot of consulting both in the U.S., abroad, internationally. And also just people from all walks of life and all kinds of backgrounds. And what I find is that we're not focusing on the sales. And I think it's because it also terrifies us. I mean, honestly, I've always been amazing at what we call indoor sales. So when I was in the retail businesses and managing companies, I even at one point worked on a base salary plus commission at a high-end boutique, at a store managing designers. And if you're coming into my presence, my store, where I'm working from, and I have a product or service to sell, it's very easy for me to have conversations that could potentially lead to sales. But outside sales, going somewhere and what we used to refer to as cold calling, right? So the mere term terrified you. And I remember working in an industry, one of the companies that I managed years and years ago was a medical supply company, and they wanted me to go out. Every now and then they would come up to me and say, "Danette, we really would like you to go out and visit doctor's offices today or tomorrow and try to, you know, gain more business on the medical side of our company." And it was so apparent that I did not like it. It was not my strength. I was so uncomfortable with it that it completely changed my personality from the moment they told me that I needed to go to the day that I was supposed to go and beyond. I was of no use to our company when I went out to doctor's offices. Why? Because I felt uncomfortable and because they never trained me in sales. They never helped me to understand how to sell in that perspective. But here's what's crazy. They didn't need to train me. They should have, but they didn't need to. So one thing I realized about, I had lived most of my life with this belief that I hated outside sales, right? And what I didn't like was really the fact that, for example, my first real experience where someone was insisting that I go out and sell, try to sell some business, was going to these doctor's offices. And the reason why I hated doing it, I have to say that I absolutely hated doing it. Eventually they stopped, the owners of the company stopped asking me to go out to doctor's offices because I was bringing in a phenomenal, phenomenal business. I took the company from a quarter of a million to half a million in a few short months. In something like 3 or 4 months, I had taken the company to half a million. And how I did it was by working at our location. When I answered the phones, if a doctor called to get assistance with something they needed for a patient, because of course this was all medical supplies, as I mentioned before, I would ask the questions, "Have you referred patients to us before? Have you worked with us?" And if they said no, then I would just be myself and say, "Well, you know, we'd love to work with you. This is what we do. This is how we are. This is why you want to send your patients to us for their medical equipment." And I would get that business. And then the patients that came in sometimes walked into the stores looking for something. The kind of service that I made sure we provided in the store and how I felt and built relationships with the client would lead to sales and long-term relationships. Sadly, when we lost a patient, it was because they had many times their life had ended. They were very ill. They were coming to us for medical supplies for a reason. And I know that sounds terribly depressing, and it's why eventually I left that industry, because I loved the people that I worked with, and I got so close to my patients, what I called my patients, that it was just too painful to get the calls to pick up the equipment and knowing that this person that we had cared for had lost their battle with their disease or whatever it was. But the idea is that to me, going to the doctor's offices meant that I was interrupting these busy people. I know what it's like in an office. I know what the front desk has to deal with. And I felt like calling these people or going there and sitting there like a pharmaceutical rep waiting to talk to them was just not how I built relationships. And so it was so uncomfortable for me. I couldn't stand it. And eventually my team spoke to the business owners and said, please, please stop asking Danette to go out and do any kind of sales calls. Because when you do that, it's like we don't know who she is. Her whole personality changes. She's not as nice as she normally is. She's just, it's terrible. And so eventually they stopped asking me to do that because they realized that I was adding no value, that I was not good at it. And so they stopped sending me out. But here's what's interesting. Here's what happened some years later. So eventually I left that industry because it was just very sad. And the medical supply industry, like doctor's office and everything else, were being managed and taken over by the insurance companies. They were dictating what we could and couldn't give our patients, and they were making it very difficult sometimes for our very sick patients to get equipment that they desperately needed and couldn't afford to pay for out of pocket. And I just thought that it was wrong, and I didn't care to be in that industry anymore, so I left. And so I did some other things over the years, and when I landed in Delaware after a divorce and just looking to get out of New Jersey because I had sold my house and I had grown up in Oxford, Pennsylvania, and it's close to the Delaware area, but my brother was living in Delaware at the time, and so I decided to sublet from him. So what happened? So I decided to start my own company, this company. And I found it so easy. So let me backtrack a little. Before I started Rivera Business Development, the company that I own today and have had for 11 years, I decided to rep nutraceutical products. And these are products with a lot of research and a lot of work to prove that they're quality products that we would put in doctor's offices, traditional doctor's offices. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, are you serious? Did you just say that you decided to rep products when you said you didn't care to go out and do outside sales and to doctor's offices? Really? Yes, that's what I said. But here's what happened. So I had that business for a year and sold nothing. I think I had one doctor's practice for the very reasons that I mentioned before, that I hated it. So I thought to myself, why on earth did I do this? But I believed in the product. I believed in the results because I had experienced some dramatic health benefits from some of these products that I was repping. And so I believed in the product enough to know that I didn't want to give up on sharing it. I needed to find a way to make it work for me. So what did I do? So I had to figure out how I was going to go to these doctor's offices, but I was not going to feel like I was harassing the office staff. And I would do it in a way that felt much more normal and natural to me. So here's what I did. I actually went out and I decided that I would go into doctor's offices with nothing in my hand. I would have a business card in my pocket, and I would walk in to a doctor's office, and I would wait until I had an opportunity where they weren't as busy, and I would introduce myself, and here's what I would say. I'm Danette Rivera, and you are a practice in my territory. I'm a nutraceuticals rep. And I'm just here today to introduce myself. I know how busy you are. I just wanted to introduce myself and give you my business card. And they would inevitably want to know more. Oh, really? Do you have any information? And I would say, no, that's not why I'm here today. I just wanted to meet you and introduce myself to you. And I will be back next week. should I be speaking with you or is there someone else I should be speaking with? And they would tell me who I needed to speak with if it wasn't one of them. They were very pleasant. And I would leave, and when I got in my car, I would take a note, I would make a note about who I spoke with and plan to visit that practice the next week. And I built out a territory. I mapped it out. I picked which towns and which areas. I did all that. But the point is that I found a very easy, comfortable way that fit my personality to go to these doctor's offices. So what happened? What happened was that I read a book called The Power of Focus. And in that book, there was a quote, I believe it was from George Adair, and it said, "Everything you desire is on the other side of fear. Everything you desire is on the other side of fear." And that quote spoke to me and really shocked me out of where I was. And I started thinking to myself, you know what? This is absolutely true. I've had this business for a year and I'm not making any money in this business. And I'm not making any money because I don't know how to approach these doctor's offices without feeling like a nuisance. And what am I so afraid of? What can these people do to me? Nothing. What am I so afraid of? So I sat down and I wrote a goal for myself. And I committed myself to visiting 10 practices a day, every day for 30 days. Well, actually for 20 days because I was, 5 days a week. And I will tell you that writing it terrified me. That writing it gave me anxiety because all that stuff that I let get in my way was all there just while I was writing this goal. But I knew that I needed to do something, that I could no longer sit here and not make any money from this company. And it was either make it successful, do something, or find something else to do because I needed to support myself and my children. And so I started doing what I mentioned, and I mapped it out, and I made sure that I had 10 practices that I visited every day in different towns. And what happened from that was that I stuck with that number. I had to stop visiting practices in 3 weeks. Because in 3 weeks, I had almost 100 practices, 96 practices, that I had started to build some form of relationship. And they were all at different phases. Some actually moved me towards a meeting with their doctors immediately. Some of them, it was more do that. I had to go back, right? I said I'd come back next week. I went back the following week. That week, I actually brought literature, had a conversation. And some of you that are excellent at sales listening to this might say, well, my God, it's better to pick up the phone and you can call, 100 businesses a day. That's you. If that works for you, go for it, right? I'm talking about you've got to find what works for you. And what worked for me was what I shared with you. But in less than 30 days, right? So I had 96 practices that I was building relationships with. And that started to generate some revenue for my business. And so and when I say some, it's because ultimately I continued to do that business. But then I added other things that I was doing. And eventually, I really fell in love with teaching entrepreneurship, with helping small businesses, because what I did is I fell back on all my years of managing and growing other people's companies and those experiences. And I started to teach programs, and I fell in love with helping entrepreneurs. And that's when I launched the current company that I own, which is Rivera Business Development. And we have had our ups and downs, but I have never had a problem with building this business. But I will end with this, that I recently, after 11 years of being in business, I had to look at my company and where I am today and where I should be based on everything that I have done, the client base that I have, the credibility and credentials that I have established, the research that I've done to provide science-based consulting and coaching. And I had to ask myself, what am I not doing? And guess what? I had to look at monetizing my business. What am I not doing where I'm doing well? And I've supported myself entirely from my business in 11 years, but I know that I could be much further along. So I had to ask myself, what am I not doing? And I had to revisit the methods and the things that I'm doing. And what I discovered this time around was that while I'm very comfortable speaking with people, I wasn't always looking for the sale. I wasn't always closing. I wasn't asking the kinds of questions that would lead to a conversation about what this person needed. And I will tell you that once again, doing that shift, and I'm talking just recently, in the past few weeks, it has completely begun to change my business. I would say probably that this journey started about a year ago, but consciously, it started a few weeks ago. And now, my business has already expanded internationally. I have people willing to pay me. Now, some of you have listened that I'm going to Peru, right? And I'm taking some businesses with me. But I have businesses that are offering me or asking me, well, if I can't go with you, are you able to represent me during your trip? And I am very comfortable with saying, absolutely, I can do that for a fee, right? And there was a time when I wouldn't have done that. I probably would have said, because I love entrepreneurs and I love helping entrepreneurs. And so I probably would have said, sure, you know, just send me a packet, your businesses, and I'll see what kind of business I can drum up for you. And then, you know, when I come back, I'll share that information. No, that's a huge service. That's asking a lot. I have to prepare reports upon my return. I have to do follow up with them. And then I have to help them to follow up perhaps with the businesses down there. Because first of all, the businesses that asked me to do this may or may not know how to speak Spanish, and the businesses that I might connect them with down in Peru may not know English. But I can tell you sincerely that there was a time in my life where I would have never thought to do that. And I know that you're probably thinking that's crazy if you're a strong salesperson. But it's likely that if you're listening to my podcast, it's because there are things that you want to learn, that you want to do better, that you know that there are things that you're not doing either. And you want to know, well, how on earth has Danette managed to keep this business 11 years and she's accomplished the things that she has accomplished? And, you know, I know her. I know her personality if you've actually met me and have been around me. So how is she doing this? And you know my struggles because I'm very open. You know, I've talked about the fact that when I took over the care of my parents overnight, I was a part-time business owner and a full-time caregiver. I've only now gotten back to working my business full-time again. And I mean really full-time, right? I was working my business every day while I was taking care of my parents. But I'm really working it full-time now, all in. And I have this different mentality. And you know why I have this different mentality? Because I do have a lot to catch up on. Because I did spend the last few years taking care of my parents, and I have no regrets about that. I'm so, so lucky that I got to do that. But now, based on where I'm at in my life and what I want for my life, I know that I have to accelerate. I have to do more. And that means that I have to do a better job at selling my services, at monetizing the opportunities that are presented to me, and that it's time to just stop fooling around. So obviously this podcast this week is much longer than what you normally get from me, but I really wanted to share all of this because I just think that that is one of the biggest problems that I see with the service businesses and the people that I consult and train, is that we have this discomfort with sales. And it's just, all I'm saying to you, what has to happen is figure out how you can sell. What makes you comfortable? How will you do it? And if you're using social media, what platform is going to be the most comfortable for you? For me, it's podcasting over everything else. I can do it easily, quickly. I can do it from anywhere. And it's the greatest comfort level for me. And I learned that because I love radio, right? So this is my new radio show. It's a podcast. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned. And by the way, for my bilingual audience, next week, I'm launching Latino Despierta Tu Poder, which will be my podcast for my Spanish-speaking community. And for those of you that are bilingual and you know Spanish, you can join in and listen in on that podcast as well. But that one is happening next week. And I want to make a promise to my listeners that I will be more consistent and that you will hear from me once a week. That's a promise I'm making to you today. So hold me accountable. Thanks again.